You're listening to Kira's Pink Sparkle Podcast with Kira Lawrence, challenging perceptions of learning disability. The views you're about to hear are the personal views of Kira Lawrence and her guests, and not the organisations she is associated with.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next exciting episode of Kira's Pink Sparkle Podcast. I'm so thrilled to be joined by the comedian and writer, Ashley Blaker. So welcome to my podcast, Ashley.
Thank you very much for having me, Kira. It's an absolute pleasure.
I first heard of you last year, and it was when you were a guest on Michael Ball's Radio 2 show.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to your interview, and I was really taken by you because, you know, I've grown up obviously as a person with a learning disability. So I not only related to you as someone who knows about disability, has children with SEN and disability, also as a parent, you know, that really spoke to me when you were talking about your experience of being a parent of six children with SEN and disability. And I loved your interview so much. And I just had to get in touch and just say, like, how brilliant you were. And I was like, I must get him on my podcast at some point to do an interview.
Yeah, it's been 6 months, so. In a while. Yeah. I'm glad we finally made it happen. And thank you to Michael Ball for introducing us.
I know. How many times can you say Michael Ball's linked someone up with someone else? Like, how does that happen? That was amazing. Say thank you, Michael Ball, if you listen in.
I'm sure he listens religiously. Yeah. I'm sure he does.
So I then bought your amazing book called Normal Schnormal. And can I just say, I read this from start to end, and it's an amazing book. And I love how you talk about being a dad, about tips, about, you know, what you should do when you have children with a disability. And you just made it really wonderful and positive. But you also talked about the challenges and the ups, the downs, the roundabouts. And I think for me, this has been an amazing thing that I now have been able to share with my family and talk about. Actually, you know, growing up, my parents didn't really understand learning disability when I was younger. Right. But now they've seen me grow up. And now I'm married and I have my own home and I have a career. And now I've been able to share this book with them, and I've been able to talk to them about you as well and about your book. And so thank you, because it's really helped us have conversations.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm so delighted. It's incredible to hear that. That's the first I've heard of that. And that's wonderful. I mean, it's, you know, The thing with the book is you've maybe heard me say this on Michael Ball, but I'll repeat myself for those that weren't listening to Michael Ball, that, you know, I wrote this book. As you say, it's called Normal Schmormal. The subtitle is My Occasionally Helpful Guide to Parenting Kids with Special Needs. So it is kind of a part memoir, but also a guide. But really, the reason I wrote it is my eldest son has autism, ASD and ADHD, and he was diagnosed 16 years ago or so. I mean, he'll be 20 this year, but he's 19 now. He was diagnosed when he was 3. And this is the book which I wish I'd read at that point. It's interesting you're sharing it with your parents, and, you know, you even though you've, you know, you're all grown up now, but, like, you'd still like your parents to read that book. But this book wasn't around when they were parenting you, and this book wasn't around when I was parenting my kids. So I've written the book I really wanted to write. And as you know, the word you said there was positive.
Yes.
It's about positivity. So, and also You could have written my marketing for me because you've hit the nail on the head. I want to talk about the challenges and the ups and the downs and the, you what do you call it, the swings and roundabouts and all the rest of it. And it is challenging, and we certainly don't shy away from that. And all the, I don't know, hospital appointments or school meetings or difficulties with schools or difficulties with friendships and play dates and eating and all these things. But being positive, looking on the bright side, looking particularly for the funny side and the lighter side, because all parenting is hard. I mean, no question. And when you have a family that might be slightly, different to what is the norm, who cares about the norm? But slightly unusual, not the normal family setup. Yeah, even more so, you need to have to look on the bright side and have some light relief. So
So,
thank you. Thank you for that. That's a great feedback. It really is. And it's lovely to hear it.
I was diagnosed with my learning disability finally at the age of 10. So it didn't come before birth. It didn't come at birth. It came at the age of 10, and it was only until my third mainstream school. I went to three different mainstream schools, and it wasn't until the third mainstream school went, "Hold on a minute, there's something wrong here. Why hasn't it been picked up thus far? We need to now get Kira some help because she's struggling." And all my other schools had put it down to me being naughty. It had been put down to me being not wanting to learn,
It's
me
so
being
hard.
stupid.
So I talk about this in the book that one of the things that I think is really, so we've got, let's say, just to recap, we've got six children, three of whom have a diagnosis, three of whom have the surname Blaker, which kind of amounts to the same thing. But so I have two sons who are diagnosed with autism and ADHD. And then we have an adopted daughter who we adopted. She's 15. We adopted her at the age of two, who has Down syndrome. Now, what's interesting in, I was particularly talking about this regarding schooling. And as you say, you were talking about not being diagnosed until you're 10, like certainly not at birth or whatever. A child is born, you can see they have Down syndrome, it's diagnosed or whatever. And at that point, it's actually in many ways easier to place. Where it gets really challenging and where I think things are so difficult for parents is when things aren't picked up, or when a child falls between two stools. I don't know if you're a football fan at all, Kira, but do you have any interest in football? No, not at all. So I mentioned it. I used this analogy briefly at one point in the book about there are some footballers who are like not good enough to play in the Premier League, but too good to play in the Championship, the level below. So we of my three diagnosed children, my daughter Zoe, definitely special school. She goes to special. She's always gone to a special school. She's six. She's 15. She has a kind of mental age, probably of about like a 3-year-old. She's in the right place. My third son, who has autism and ADHD, but he was given a statement of like I don't know, 15 hours of support a week or 18. I can't remember. He definitely should be in a mainstream school, no question. Just with a little bit of extra help. My eldest son, who had a full time support, so basically 35 hours, exactly the same as my daughter, who goes to special school. He really fell between two schools. He was not, his needs weren't great enough to merit a special school. He definitely shouldn't have gone to a special school. But neither was he really suited to a mainstream school. And so you kind of fall between the cracks, and it's between two levels, and it's really difficult. Now, I think it's so difficult for parents, difficult for schools as well. I don't want to be negative about schools that they often, not always, but usually trying to do their best. But it's very hard, and finding the right schools. And as you say, you've moved around. I mean, my eldest son went to more schools than an Ofsted inspector. I mean,
Really.
he, but you know, he. miraculously, I mean, it really, at the third attempt, he finally got GCSEs in
Great.
English and maths, and was able to, move on with his life. Took it some time getting there, but yeah, so it's so hard, isn't it? And I feel for you, that you went through lots of different schools, and it's, and people, as you say, thought you were naughty or thought you were just, look, we,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying things I hear from parents all the time
Yeah.
moaning about the schools and what have you, but I was just going to say, I do think at least things have got better a little bit. I mean,
Yes. Yeah.
we are much better than, this was some time ago, obviously, you're in school. John Bishop, the comedian John Bishop,
Yeah.
I heard saying once that, he's dyslexic, and he said that when he went to school, they just said, just he said to his parents, make sure John can lift heavy stuff. And
Okay.
like that was the extent of what we're going to do. Now, we at least have Senkos, and we have people who are there, and we have a process that you can get extra help and takes time and exams, or we have greater awareness, maybe not enough, but a greater awareness of, neurodiversity and of different needs. And so we've still got a long way to go, but
Yeah.
at least we things have improved probably since you were a child.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. I think things have improved. Things have started to get better. There's more to do. There's room for improvement. And I think schools are really trying to give children with special needs and learning disabilities a better opportunity to learn, and they have better support now, which is great. Because after I went to my third mainstream school, I then went to a special school and I got the right support. And I left there with GCSEs, but I was told I would never achieve. And actually, now I have GCSEs, I have a career, I'm married, I've been married 10 years. And
Amazing.
actually, I have proved people wrong.
Yeah.
I have gone out there, I've made a name for myself. So now,
Brilliant.
not only am I Kira, who works for Mencap and has got a 23-year career there, I'm a podcaster.
Yeah.
I'm now
Amazing.
working with a children's book publishing company, recording some of their audiobooks, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
amazing. And look, hats off to you. It's you're amazing, amazing achievements, an amazing example. And if I think about, will my daughter ever be able to do that? I mean, I can't say ne ne never, but I mean, she's 15. I mean, she's like a 3-year-old, and we have to do everything for her. I mean, she's
Yeah.
currently downstairs watching, just talking into her. She just loves, she likes watching something, Mr. Tumble, and talking into an app that's like a cat, which she says a funny word. She said the word and it says it back to her, and
Right.
she loves that. And that's great. I'm not, that's fine. But if you only focus on it, basically the message that we're putting out as charities, not just about Mencap, the other charities and the general public, sorry, the press and what have you, if the story that we change it too far and now say, yeah, people with Down syndrome are actors and models and business owners, entrepreneurs. Yes, a small number are, but there are many people like my daughter. And let's not and let's be let's have a little bit of realism here. And it's a bit like reading, I don't know, like somebody self-publishes a book and becomes a number one bestseller, and it makes me about, yeah, well, that doesn't mean everyone who self-publishes a book will. I mean, that's, but there you go.
I
I guess
agree.
it's an interesting thing that we have to do. It's very hard because we want, on the one hand, to be, organizations like Mencap. I only focus on Mencap because you're involved with
Yeah.
it. It's really important to have these very positive stories, and
Yeah.
like yourself, people who are, to show what is possible for people with different learning difficulties, and what is possible if society allows it. But at the same time, we have to temper that with realism so that parents aren't made to feel like, oh, we're doing something wrong.
I agree. I totally agree. And I remember when I was diagnosed with my learning disability, my mum and dad at the time, when I was 10, they didn't understand. And they had to have all these professionals telling them that their daughter is different, that their daughter is stupid, that their daughter would never do anything. And so for years, I struggled sometimes to communicate with my own mum and dad to tell them what I wanted in my life. And it was really hard. And literally, they've had to be my cheerleaders, my support workers, my champions. They've literally had to be my advocates until I went to Mencap and they started helping me advocate for what I wanted to achieve in my own life. Then my mum and dad were like, oh, now he can take a back seat because now she's got Mencap support. Mencap are going to help her. And actually, now I have a much nicer relationship with my own parents because they don't have to do all the support side. Actually, now they can just be my mum and dad, and
Yeah, that's nice.
it's so much better.
No, it's wonderful. But yes, I mean, even the fact that you are capable of advocating, I mean, that's often the, and that's the whole point of being a parent, job of being a parent is that you are advocate, even, if you mainstream children. By the way, so in the book, as you'll know, I don't use the term special needs or, I use the term cold plays and zappers.
I love
So,
that.
yeah, so basically, mainstream children are like Coldplay, perfectly good, but rather dull, bit boring, bit too safe, what have you. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Coldplay, but I also I'm one of those people who likes feeling superior because I listen to real avant-garde music, Captain Beefheart, Kate Bush, Frank Zappa. And the children with special needs are like, they're like more like Frank Zappa, rebellious, alternative, sometimes unspeakably bad, but they don't care. And that's actually what I love. Frank Zappa, he didn't care. He never cared about, do what I want to do. I don't care like about selling records. And my children are like that. They don't care. They just do what they want to do. And so throughout the book, we called them Coldplays and Zappers. If you have Zappers, if you have Coldplays, blah, blah, blah. So I was going to say, a parent, even if you're a parent of Coldplays, the job is basically one of advocacy. You are advocating for your child because your children are either they can't communicate, they're little top babies, or because they're children, they don't have the kind of, so if you're, I don't know, a parent of like a 10-year-old, and you're dealing with the schools, you are advocating for them. You're deciding what school they should go to and helping them, helping them in their life. So that is parenting. I mean, obviously, a job of a parent is to advocate. And it's amazing that, you're now, as an adult, you are able to advocate for yourself. There are obviously some people for whom that's never going to be the case. I'm not a fortune teller, but I would strongly suspect that our daughter, she's 15, she'll be 16 this year in September. Please God, and I don't imagine, she'll ever really be in a place to advocate hugely for herself. I don't know if she'll even be able to, could she go into supported housing at one point? We kind of always assumed that might be the case, but I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. But even if we made that decision, that would be us advocating for her. So, that's the way it is. And so these are the challenges parents sometimes have. But it's
I
wonderful
agree.
that that you're able to do that yourself.
I agree. I have lots of friends because I've grown up in a world where all my friends are people with learning disabilities. They're all really different as people. They're all different to each other. I know their quirks. I know their good, happy days. I know their sad days. I know their bad days. And I even have to make reasonable adjustments when I go out with them. Like, I know two of my friends who have quite moderate autism. So when I go out with them, we have to stick to a really rigid timetable. If I say I pick them up at 10 o'clock, that does not mean 5 past 10. That does not mean 10 past 10. That means 10 o'clock at the door. And literally, then we have to follow their timetable for the day. So, like, if we decide to go bowling, we have to have bowling at a certain time. Then we have to go out for lunch. And it has to be that routine because that's what they have their kind of plan on. And so for me, I've had to kind of go, okay, well, I also have a learning disability. I then have to make changes in my timetable then to fit with that. And I kind of, that's fine because I can be flexible and I can adapt. But then I then have to think about them and actually go, actually, no, I can't change that plan now because actually I've told them we need to stick to it. So I've grown up having a group of friends who I then have to kind of go, right, I have to think about the activity. I have to think about the times. I have to think about what we're going to do, where we're going to do it. So for me, I know that all my friends are very different in the way they have what they want and what they need. So that's what I've always grown up in. And all my friends who have learning disabilities, they are human beings. They're just like anybody else, but they just have times where they have meltdowns when we're out, and we have to deal with those. It's not always perfect, but that makes them. And I think I know everybody's different. Everybody communicates in a different way. And, but sadly, the world still makes assumptions. People in the world still make labels for people. And I just really want through this podcast to say to people, look, actually, come and learn about this. Come and talk to people like me. Come and meet people like me and understand our world and understand the support that we need to achieve. So that was the whole basic reason for me starting up my podcast, was to interview people, learn from people, meet people, talk to people, and actually get the meeting people with learning disabilities like me. And I'm really loving it. I've learned a lot about myself through my podcast about doing it, and I've learned to do it really well now, and the kind of guests that I want to have on. So thank you again for saying yes. I really appreciate you saying yes.
No, it's a real pleasure. It's a real pleasure.
And
I love talking about this stuff, and it's and it's wonderful to meet people like yourself. So yeah.
Can I just say, I really love page 37.
I
Bring
can't remember
your
what's on it.
own
What's on it?
biscuits.
But
Bring
bring
your
your
own biscuits to meetings. That
right.
is my favorite quote in the book.
Thank you. So yes, so every chapter. So the format of the book is an A to Z, but appropriately for a book about children who might find learning a bit difficult, it's all jumbled up in the wrong order. So the first chapter, I think, is M is for meetings, 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 and then it goes to D is for diagnosis autism, and the last chapter is O is for onwards and upwards. So it covers all 26 letters, but in the jumbled up order, and yes, and the first, and then each chapter ends with a few bullet points of advice and a few takeaways, takeaway tips. And yes, so one of the things what you're referencing there is in the chapter about meetings at school, particularly at school meetings. So what I would find is we'd often, like, you'd go to the meeting and you could tell even before the meeting started, as soon as you walked in the room, you could tell whether it was going to go well or badly or what have you by looking at the table. If they had a box of tissues on the if you had a basically a plate of biscuits on the table, a plate of biscuits, it was going to be a positive one, and if there was a box of tissues, it was not going to go well. And I was it's a basically a one final bit of advice is if you just bring your own biscuits, and then it'll always be a good meeting. So there you go.
I totally agree
Metaphor
with that. So,
for life, but also a practical tip.
Yes, it's always worth having a pack of biscuits at a meeting. I always try to do that now, and it makes it so much more better. And I love how you just talk about being a dad and the ups and the downs that come with, fathering children. Like, I love that. And, through this, I've been able to talk a bit more to my dad about having a learning disability, about my world. And for a long time, me and my dad clashed because he didn't really understand me. He didn't really understand, what I understood. And at times, me and my dad would have screaming matches. And because he didn't understand me, I didn't understand him. So actually, I'm really glad you have really spoken out in this book about being a dad. And I
Right.
really
Yeah.
wish more parents, wrote things like this because it really helps to have those conversations and to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So thank
Yeah.
you for writing this book.
But how dare you call someone like Jordan ugly? Yes, no, it really does cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, as you say. And yeah, and interesting, I mean, as you say, you write to, note that it's a dad's perspective, but I hopefully the book is, I think, just as useful, obviously, to mums, dads, and everyone. So, and the book has been very popular actually with yeah, also not just parents, but grandparents and cousins and aunts, uncles, and but also a lot of professionals. I know a lot of teachers, people involved with people who work with children with SEN have really enjoyed the book.
Good, good. And one thing when I looked at your website today is I believe you're going on tour this year. So do you want to promote your tour?
I do want to promote the tour, but the tour tickets aren't on sale yet. So I don't know when this podcast is going out, but they will be, I think, at the end of January, going on tour on sale. Yeah, so the tour based on the book called Normal Schmormal, all around the country, 20 plus dates in April, May, and June. And all the dates will be on my website, ashleyblaker.com. But yeah, and obviously the book is on available at Amazon and all the usual books place book sites, but and most local Waterstones you'll find it. And yeah, so they're the main things. Yeah.
Well, it has been really lovely to chat to you. Thank you for your time today. I've loved meeting you, and
Likewise.
I will grab some tickets to come and see you when you announce your tour. I will be there with pink bells on.
Thank you to Michael Ball again.
And thank you
Thank
again to
you.
Michael Ball for linking us up.
Thanks, Kira.
Thanks, Ashley.
Bye.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Kira's Pink Sparkle Podcast. Join the conversation. Follow us on X at Kira's Pink Pod.